Hello, everyone. For today's selection on Wonders of the Bible, we are going to be looking at the Julius Smith Bible, published in the year of our Lord, 1876. This was 21 years after completing her work. Julia Evelina Smith Parker was the first woman to translate a Bible, and she did so from the Hebrew and Greek into English. I have been very fortunate to be able to acquire a page from an original Smith Bible for the Wonders of the Bible collection. Finding a Smith Bible leaf is a rare occurrence indeed. In addition to that blessing, this leaf was already displayed in a museum exhibit, complete with the page itself, a portrait of Julia, and historical background information etched on brass plates. Now, I cannot take the museum piece apart. Well, I could, but I shouldn't. Therefore, I will not be using my video camera to do a show-and-tell style program this time around. For today's program, I'll touch briefly on the story of her translation and read a few excerpts from her Bible, and I'll read directly from the page that is in the collection. Since there is plenty of biographical information on her online, I will not go into any great detail duplicating that information here. For her translation of the Old and New Testaments, Julia Smith would take a single Hebrew or Greek word and replace it with the equivalent English word, word by word. A literal word-for-word translation does not usually work out very well overall, regardless of what is being translated, biblical or otherwise. So, this resulting translation did lead to a bit of criticism of this work, and perhaps unfairly. If one looks at the history of Bible translations, it is easy to find several other instances of this occurring, and, in all fairness and honesty, the persons involved are not viewed in as strong a critical light. Criticized? Yes. To the same degree? No. As an example, in the 1300s, we can look at John Wycliffe's first translation of the Bible into Middle English. Wycliffe's translation was also a word-for-word literal translation, but unlike Smith, who used the Hebrew and Greek, Wycliffe used Jerome's Latin Vulgate as his source. The resulting syntax is similar. It was Jerome and others who translated the Hebrew and Greek into Latin in the late 300s and onward. Therefore, Wycliffe's Bible, the Bible that has been credited with the foundational beginnings of the Protestant Reformation, was, and is, a translation of a translation. It is also a Middle English version of the Roman Bible. Due to it being a translation of the Latin Vulgate, in the late 1500s, it was relied upon by the translators of the Reims New Testament. A copy of the Wycliffe Bible recently sold for $1.6 million in 2016. And, just for the record, no, I was not the person who purchased it. The King James Bible has been touted as a word-for-word translation, but as we will see mentioned in the Smith Bible preface coming up, most English Bible translations include some interpretation of the original text. The preface to the King James Version explains that the translators did not translate the same word in the source manuscripts the same way in all instances. Rather, they attempted to capture the sense of the original word in each case. Maintaining the form and structure of the original documents, Julia Smith produced what is known as a literal word-for-word translation. In other words, she strictly maintained the exact order of the words from Hebrew to English and from Greek to English. Some found the result of this work confusing, to say the least, But for those reading in English, it does give us the opportunity firsthand to read as close to the original manuscripts as possible. Many times the structure may not make sense to us, but if we take the time to meditate upon the words themselves, the meaning is there in most cases. So, moving forward, let's start off with an excerpt from her preface. Toward the end of this short reading, you'll hear about the comparison she makes between her own translation and that of the King James Bible, as follows. Over 20 years ago, when I had four sisters, a friend met with us weekly to search the scriptures. We, being desirous to learn the exact meaning of every Greek and Hebrew word, from which the King James's 47 translators had taken their version of the Bible. We saw by the margin that the text had not been given literally, and it was the literal meaning that we were seeking. I had studied Latin and Greek at school, and began by translating the Greek New Testament and then the Septuagint, from which our Savior quoted one or two texts which are not in the Hebrew Bible, and there is now said to be no Hebrew Bible extant so old as the Septuagint. We all had a strong desire to learn the signification of the proper names. And I wrote to a learned friend about it, and he advised me to study Hebrew, saying, quote, "It was a simple language and easily learned, there being but one book in the world of pure Hebrew, which was the Bible," end quote. He added that, quote, "Then I could see with my own eyes and not look through the glasses of my neighbors," end quote. I soon gave my attention to the Hebrew and studied it thoroughly and wrote it out word for word, giving no ideas of my own, but endeavoring to put the same English word for the same Hebrew or Greek word everywhere, while King James's translators have wholly differed from this rule. But it appeared to give us a much clearer understanding of the text. So there we have an excerpt from the Smith Bible preface written by Julia Smith, and now I will read the 23rd Psalm from the Smith Bible. Keep in mind, this is a word-for-word translation, just as the order of the words appeared in the Hebrew texts. Chanting of David, Jehovah my shepherd, and I shall not want. He will cause me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. He will lead me to the water of rest. He will turn back my soul. He will guide me into the tracks of justice for sake of his name. Also, if I shall go into the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not be afraid of evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. Thou wilt set in order a table before me in front of mine enemies. Thou madest fat mine head with oil, my cup being satisfied with drink. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I dwelt in the house of Jehovah to the length of days. And now I would like to read directly from the page that I have from the Smith Bible here in the Wonders of the Bible collection. The one side on display in the frame contains 1 Kings chapter 18, starting around verse 30. I should mention, before I begin, that if you do hear any strange noises in this recording, it's my old Tomcat, who's a co-producer on the show, but he's sleeping behind me and snoring. So the show must go on as follows. And Elijah will say to all the people, "Draw near to me," and all the people will draw near to him, and he will repair the altar of Jehovah, having been torn down. And Elijah will take 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom was the word of Jehovah to him, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And he will build with the stones an altar in the name of Jehovah, and he will make a channel, rolling up 2 measures of seed round about the altar. And he will put in order the woods, and he will cut the bullock in pieces and put upon the woods. And he will say, Fill 4 buckets of water and pour upon the burnt offering and upon the woods. And he will say, Do a second time. And they will do a second time. And he will say, Do a third time. And they will do a third time. And the waters will go round about the altar, and he also filled the channel with water. And it will be in the going up of the gift, and Elijah the prophet will draw near and say, Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, this day it shall be known that thou art God in Israel, and I thy servant, and by thy words I did all these words. Answer me, O Jehovah, answer me, and this people shall know that thou art Jehovah God, and thou didst turn their heart backwards. And the fire of Jehovah will fall and will consume the burnt offering and the woods, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the waters which were in the channel. And all the people will see and fall upon their face and say, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Okay, so there we have it, the Julia Smith Bible translation. Very interesting if you ask me, especially from a collector's perspective. I would suggest that you continue to learn more about Julia Smith and her translation. As I mentioned earlier, there are many sources of information online. I certainly don't want to cut out any information here on the program, but sometimes I just function more as a facilitator than anything else. I provide the resources rather than being the resources. In closing, please subscribe if you haven't already, and sign up for my once-a-month email newsletter where I can keep you up to date on monthly show-and-tell Bible history programs. You can visit the collection website at wondersofthebible.org. And if you would like a presentation and small Bible history exhibit for your church or group, we serve the southern New Jersey, southeastern PA, northern Delaware, and eastern Maryland areas. For Wonders of the Bible, this is Frank DeFreitas. And remember, to always love others, just as Jesus Christ loves you.